Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn, barbecuing alone. I actually just had a false start. Sorry if you saw the previous video go up. We're live only on YouTube, so I do appreciate anyone that's tuning in and appreciate your comments. You're going to have to help me out, guys, and interact with me to help me do our short Sunday recap on my own today. Just two games to unpack, but I wanted to throw in a bonus tip for NFL, for anyone who does watch this. And also, I was just going to go around the grounds and talk about some other big sporting events that I've watched in the last few days. Bear with me as well. I can't see any numbers to see if anyone is able to view this and if my sound and pictures are all right. I want to try and share it onto Facebook as well to give people who are expecting this video on Facebook the opportunity to jump in and interact as well. So bear with me. I'm going to try and do that. Obviously, we'll talk first of all, as I can see some comments are coming through, so I must actually be live. Thanks, JC. First of all, we'll talk about Friday night. I should say as well, the results, we didn't have a best bet this weekend, which that in itself is probably regrettable. And I'll talk about what, you know, why we didn't. And also, we lost the mixed matchup, and that was quite brutal. So bear with me, guys. I'm just going to hit the old friendly share and jump on, share this on Facebook. For some reason, Facebook wasn't letting me go live. But we'll try and get it out there to people. Appreciate your comments coming through, guys. Kind of sad or kind of ironic that after we got three absolute belters of games in week one of the finals, three in a row, obviously, and even Parramatta against Penrith, was a beauty for the first 50, 60 minutes, that then we got a couple of fizzes this weekend. But that does happen at this time in the finals, and I do want to talk about that phenomenon of, you know, teams running out of petrol and whether you can identify it as a better, whether we could have done a better job with that as well. And when you get more extreme results, how you may be able to take advantage of it. Okay, so the mixed matchup, as I said, we've been on a real hot streak with those. We had won six of the last seven, something like that. And this weekend, $2.45, we needed Souths to score more points than Parramatta, but they fell short by 2 points, which we will cover as well. But Parramatta, as you can see on the screen, ended up with 40 and Souths. And I'm going to put the graphic of the mixed matchup up there. And I'm going to take away the logo that's obstructing it. You can see we lost 40-38 on a $2.45 tip. People were letting me know how bad that tip was on Friday night, trust me. But it's brutal the way that it actually got that close, with South Sydney scoring 38 the next day. Not having a best bet, but our strongest side of the weekend that we did like was Souths, and we thought they had the greater blowout potential. We both gave you the winner in both games. We tipped, you know, if you wanted a head-to-head winner, we liked Eels and Souths. We felt like Souths had that higher upside for a bigger win, and we always need to be an underdog with the mixed matchup. So it is what it is. You get two games. We picked it. We still easily could have won, but we fell short there. Unfortunately, that did hurt. So help me out with your comments, what you thought of the games, and I'll roll through. So let's talk about Parramatta Raiders. Actually, before I do that, I do have Tristan sending me through a recap clip. So let's hear how the bookies went, first of all, and then I'll tackle these games.
G'day, Tripod family. Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. And unfortunately, we didn't get as close to games in the last week of football as what we got in week one. There are a couple of blowouts there with both the Bunnies and the Eels, way too good, respectively. From a punting point of view, there was money for the Raiders plus the start. However, there were some pretty sizable multis on favourite into favourites, Eels into the Rabbitohs. The punters also came for the overs in both of those games. So the last try there sent the game overs in the Para game. And then it was one-way traffic for the Bunnies. That game moved from close to Pick'em a couple of days ago until they started to 2.5-point favourites. So punters all over the South Sydney side, and they were very, very dominant in that space. We move into the prelim finals next week, and we've got a really tight betting game in the Cowboys-Eels game, and obviously the Panthers very, very warm favourites against the Bunnies. And you'd probably expect, if Penrith do navigate through that game, there'd be a similar sort of price in the grand final. So fascinating week coming up. Hope you're back to winner if you had a bet over the weekend, and we'll touch base during the week.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Tristan, for that. And also, Jeff, in the comments, just let me know. that I tried to share this live video onto Facebook and shared the wrong link to the wrong video. So now I'm just trying to get it right this time, because I want to try and get as much interaction as I can and not have anyone miss out on this show. So that's the beauty of going live, hey? Everything that can go wrong usually does, but we're nearly getting there. Guys, favourites winning head-to-head, but mind you, South Sydney was only a slight favourite. One of the reasons that South Sydney became a slightly bigger favourite last night was also Talakai being ruled out, which we didn't know for sure was going to be the case when we did the pod on Wednesday. But I will talk about that South Sydney game a little bit more in depth after the Parramatta Raiders game. Okay, so a lot of people gave the Raiders a chance in this one. First thing I'll say is I said a week ago I cost us a winning best bet or two when I didn't want to go against Parramatta when they played Penrith, and Podonis would have had a best bet on Penrith and you could have laid 7.5. And as we know, Parramatta ended up losing that game by 20. The previous 6 weeks this season, so rounds 21 to 26, we were on Parramatta for a best bet every week. So we have really liked and respected what the Eels are about and what they're capable of. And I, as I said, I vetoed the tip last week, cost us a best bet winner. At least we built it into the mixed matchup by going against Parramatta last week, and it won. And then I did the same thing this week. So that's where it balances out, and that's where hopefully you get the strength of having two people attacking these games and approaching these games and making the decisions about what's the best bet. Because for Podonis, you would have taken the points with the Raiders or a Parramatta under, and I just didn't want to go against Parramatta again for the same reasons, even though it was a fairly steep line and even though Raiders on their best day could have made a tight game of this. And in that case, it saved us losing a best bet or two, but we did still go against Parramatta for the mixed matchup. And unfortunately, as close as we went, we fell short. And it's always hard when you look at a team like the Raiders, as I said, on their best day and the form that they took down to Melbourne and got the upset down there, was capable of making this a close game against Parramatta. But you just don't know at what point a team is going to run out of steam. I think a couple of years ago, the Raiders made a good finals run. They pulled an impressive upset victory in week two of the finals, beating the back-to-back defending champion Roosters. So this was in 2020. And then the Raiders played the Storm in the prelim and got blown off the park early. And that's what happened in this game. And it was disappointing. But my first reaction or first thing that really stood out to me was Parramatta willing to be who they are, which is the team that led the league in offloads. So I think both these sides' strengths are their forward pack. The Raiders had to win through their pack, but Parramatta's pack is equally formidable. And Parramatta was winning the forward battle, but it really helps. You're almost generating extra tackles when you can offload out of contact. And Parramatta offloading freely. And I think they're looking at it going, whatever we did last week, we weren't good enough to beat Penrith. We may get another shot at them. We've got to be ourselves and we've got to play our brand of footy. You add that element of risk in there when you're going to offload the ball more freely, but you become so hard to handle. And the Raiders couldn't handle Parramatta. And then on top of Parra generating play the ball speed, going through the ruck and offloading the ball was Raiders' errors. And early errors invited the Parramatta in. Pretty standard try to Pennacini to open things up. And then the brutal try, the try that made you think it's probably not going to be the Raiders' night, was the nutmeg of Xavier Savage. And we talked about how experience could be a big thing, because at one end, Gutho saves a try, chopping the ball on a Raiders put down, and at the other end, a Savage mistake cost the Raiders a try. And suddenly it was already 10-0, and Parramatta was looking good and the Raiders were looking a bit shaky. And in fact, 10-0 soon became 22-0, and Parramatta's at that point massively threatening the mixed matchup, but also threatening to put on a huge score. Savage has a little redeeming moment when he does score a solo 50-60-metre try, just beating a couple of tired defenders in the ruck and also beating the fullback with his speed. And at 22-6, we've seen comebacks. I think we've seen the Raiders win a game this year where they were trailing 22-0 to the Titans. And I think that was the exact same scoreline, 22-6 at halftime. And the Raiders came back and won that one. But it's a different kettle of fish with Parramatta. I think the commentators were also saying, oh, the Raiders came back against Knights. Again, it's a different caliber of opponent. And when Moses scored that try 5 minutes into the second half, it was game over, and showing that he was in a mood. And look, to the Raiders' credit, they didn't completely fold. That was like 28 points on the board or 30 points on the board for Para with still half an hour to play. And it was only a pair of Niokore tries late that got the score to 40. And the one that really hurts, because a mixed matchup, we wanted Para to score as little as possible, very aware they could win, is for Parramatta to score a try right on the stroke of full time and right in the corner and just managed to sneak it in, and bodies kind of flying everywhere and pretty fortuitous try. And I just had a bad feeling. I almost felt like Para's in the 30s. It's going to happen. South Sydney have every chance of scoring in the 30s tomorrow. Sure enough, that was the case, but Parramatta did score 40 with that try right on full time. Only other thing I can say about the mixed matchup is how much worse would it have been if the games were in the opposite order? Imagine if we had 38 on the board with Souths, we'd be sitting pretty, and then if we had to watch Parramatta score 40 points on the final play of the game. It was bad enough watching it with South Sydney with their chance to win, but look, Parramatta, legit finals, legit premiership contenders, in my opinion. I do get this feeling, like, obviously we saw what Penrith did last year, where Penrith played South Sydney in first week of the finals, lost that game, but then were able to go the long way around the mountain, still make the grand final, and ultimately play against the side that beat them in week one of the finals. Or I think back to the Cowboys in 2015. They lost to Brisbane in week one of the finals, but then they got a nice soft kill week two of the finals. They rolled Cronulla, and then they got an upset win down in Melbourne, the 2015 Cowboys, and got that rematch in the grand final. Could that be the Eels? Could the Eels go and get an upset on the road next week? And at least the fact they didn't spend a lot in week two, it gives them a chance to throw everything they can at the Cowboys. I'm not going to preview that game, but I'm happy to hear anyone's early thoughts. The Cowboys are a 2.5-point favourite next week up in Townsville, and obviously the Cowboys have been idle. And then the likely grand final opponent would be Penrith. I'm not writing off South Sydney, and I'll get your thoughts as well on South's Penrith for next week, which is the other prelim. But there's that possibility that Parramatta may get the rematch that they want. As you say, the reason we didn't pick this game is just because it's hard to know when a team is finally going to run out of fuel. And I think in these finals games, emotions are heightened, stakes are heightened. Teams might not have much left, but everyone's trying to give everything. And then when one team gets on top, don't forget, by the time there's only four or six teams left in the competition, everyone is good and everyone is really good on their day. And you get one team that's a really good footy team that has the momentum, that's on a roll, that's powerful, and that's when the score can blow out. And, you know, we didn't take kind of an either team 1-12 or anything like that in either of the games this weekend because we saw that potential. But if anything, we thought the Friday night game had a chance to be closer than the Saturday night game. If you've got any thoughts on how that one played out, Parramatta Raiders, or how you went, let us know. Just a little post-mortem on the Raiders. From where they came from, I think only two wins in their first eight games, completely written off, to get all the way into the second week of the finals, to show what they were capable of once Jamal Fogarty joined the team, which was only in the last couple of months of the season. The former Joe Tappané has been a revelation. It's a positive season for the Raiders. It always leaves a bitter taste in the mouth when you fall short in this kind of unceremonious way to bow out. But this happens. It happens more regularly than you think. And the Raiders will have a lot of players that will be involved for different nations in the World Cup. So that's something that they can look forward to. Let's move on to Saturday night's game. And going back to this theme of teams running out of steam and whether we should have predicted it, and we probably should have predicted it with the South's best bet. It's funny, I was talking to Podonis 7 days ago, and just after we'd done the live recap, we were talking about what's the lines for week two of the finals, which we usually don't even look at prior to Wednesday because they might move anyway. But just curious, and I said, what are Souths against Sharks? Are they -4.5? And then Podonis said, pick them. And I thought, oh, and that's just my initial read without kind of doing a deep dive. But my initial instinct was South Sydney should be a clear favourite in this game. We both had a lean to them, built it into the mixed matchup. In retrospect, wish we played them for a best bet. I think there was reason enough to be cautious about the loss of Burgess and the fact that South had come through a brutal game themselves. And we felt like whichever team got momentum in this one could win by a decent margin. Again, the beauty of being in our group, people ask me, wouldn't you play the same bet again here, either team 1-10? since you don't have a best bet. And I said, look, I would rather just play Souths head-to-head than play either team 1-10 because I do think this game has a bigger blowout potential. And Padonna said the same thing. Obviously, both sides coming through, brutal encounters in round one of the finals. And South Sydney really showing what they're about and showing that they have an opportunity to avenge last season and playing with such confidence. And they're playing off the back of the superstar forward in Cam Murray and the superstar in general in our universe, in our rugby league world, Latrell Mitchell. And it was a similar story in the end to Friday night. Instead of 22-0, which was the lead that the Eels built over the Raiders, it was 18-0 to South Sydney. Mark Nichols scoring the first try. I did tell you on Wednesday night he is the GOAT, and it was a pretty simple try as well, which was a worrying early sign for Cronulla. The second try for South really shows how potent and how dangerous they are with their execution. Absolutely beautiful hands through the back line, and it's you know, Latrell getting his hands on the ball, but it's also like a powerful back rower like Koloa Matangi has still got silky hands, and it ends up going in a cutout ball to Milne, and he scores in the corner, and it's 12-0. And then the dagger try is the Cam Murray try right on halftime, where he just shrugs off a couple of Sharks defenders, including Dal Finucane, and scores a try you should never be conceding in a finals game. And suddenly it's 18-0. It's virtually game over. Sharks got a bit of life with the Nakora try, which was directly off a bomb, and something I picked up, which I thought was really cool. I rewinded it on the game footage with the old Foxtel IQ. You literally see on fourth tackle, you see Nico Hines remonstrating and pointing out to Mulitalo, and he's literally pointing and saying, go and get the ball, basically telling him, I'm about to put this ball up where you can get it, and he's yelling, go and get the ball. Very next play, he catches it at first receiver and puts a perfectly weighted bomb right around the try line. Mulitalo does go get it, taps it back, Nicora scores. And with a sideline conversion, 18-6, you think, all right, well, there's some hope for Cronulla. Ilias responds with a try that was off the back of several Souths offloads. And again, Souths can defend at a high level, but they're so hard to handle with their offloads, and also they're just their ability to and propensity to promote the ball. And, you know, two tackles that probably should have been completed, Souths kept it alive and kept it alive one too many plays, and Ilias gets in. Then the Sharks thought they had scored again, and it would have been a beautiful try once again off a bomb, because this time the ball landed in Nikora's hands and he threw an amazing flick pass reminiscent of a Benji Marshall in 2005. Ultimately gets called offside for Ramian, so that was a bit disappointing for Sharks because they thought they'd pulled the score back to 24-12 and they thought they'd, they'd gone try for try. The Sharks did get the next one, so it was 24-12 at one point, but the Walker try ultimately iced this one, and Walker steps inside, and we know what a dangerous ball runner he is, but it's Cam Murray's ability to ball play and to dig really deep into the line and then put the ball on the money to his outside men, to his playmakers, that sets up the Walker try. And this game, then a few minutes later, was 36 to 12 with still 12 minutes to go. So if you're on the mixed matchup, as many of us were, we had 12 minutes to score one more try. So we're a favourite to win from where we'd come from. And South Sydney just can't get one more try for us. They even are camped on the Sharks' line, and the Sharks give away a cynical penalty. And South Sydney, just with their eye on the prelim, opts to take the two and scores 38 points, which is just brutal. The wash-up of this one, which South Sydney will be sweating on, Havili failed an HIA. Jai Arrow had a groin complaint, and Alex Johnston, they said a cork, couldn't come back out in the second half. So that's three pretty important players that South Sydney will be sweating the fitness of looking ahead to next week, where they play Panthers. And I can tell you the line is about +7.5 with the Bunnies, and that'll be played. It's either Allianz or a Coors Stadium, I believe, or it could be Combank, but it's one of the big stadiums in Sydney. So if you've got early thoughts on Bunnies Panthers, let us know. Obviously, we'll dissect that game and do a deep dive and then share with you what we find for Wednesday. To do a little post-mortem on the Sharks, the fact is that the Sharks partially lost this game a week ago when they couldn't beat the Cowboys, and when they did lead by 8 points with 8 minutes to go, when they did lead by 6 points with 60 seconds to go, And again, you play against a side and you're a bit below your best. Souths are one of the last sides you want to play against when you're not at your best and they've got the momentum. And ultimately, if I take a step back and look at the Sharks, they never had the ceiling of the other contenders. We never rated them as highly as the other contenders. One of the reasons as well is their forward pack, where I feel like, you know, it's easy to say now, but we never really, like, we haven't had many bets on Cronulla. We haven't rated them as highly as some of these other sides. You know, some big names in that forward pack, but like Graham is well past his best. Even Finucane, as experienced he is, I feel like he was never quite right, battling injuries through the second half of the year. And you've got guys like Fifita, Tolman coming off the bench, like huge respect for what they've done in their careers, but everyone understands that at the very back end of their, or be, well beyond their prime now. And I think Cronulla for the future needs some of their younger forwards to take the step up and to take more of the minutes and responsibility, and for some of their forwards to step to the next level and become rep forwards, because those players, Finucane, Graham, Fifita, they were rep forwards, but they're not that caliber anymore. But let's just not forget that Cronulla so easily could be playing next week and could be idle right now and would be playing Parramatta instead of the Cowboys if, like, one bounce of a ball goes different or one field goal attempt, you know. So it's easy to obviously dump on a side that's gone out in straight sets, but that just shows how close this competition is. It really wouldn't have taken much for Cronulla not even to be in this situation. And then it's a totally different story. I think regardless, you have to say it's a great season by Cronulla, even though it ends similar to the Raiders, with a foul taste in the mouth. That's NRL. I'm just going to go around the grounds and talk about a bunch of other sports that I've watched in the last 7 days. So you can tune in if you're interested in that at all. Let me know your thoughts, especially I'm going to be talking a bit out of school just on my reaction to some other sports I've seen. But just for 5 minutes, I'm going to start by talking about the NRLW, because last weekend was so crazy in the NRL men's finals that we had so much to cover just in those four games. I didn't even get a chance to mention that I watched one of the best NRLW games I've ever seen last weekend in Broncos Dragons, which was the first ever NRLW to go to Golden Point, I believe, where the Broncos scored a try with a minute to go to level things up at 18-all, and the Dragons ultimately win the game 19-18. Friend of the show, Jamie Soward, is the coach of the Dragons, took them all the way to the grand final last year in his first season coaching. And they kick a field goal in Golden Point that any team in the NRL men's comp would be proud of. The execution, you know, I didn't always know if the NRLW teams have that confidence to take a 30 or 40-meter field goal. They absolutely drill it. It was just super entertaining. And we haven't spoken about NRLW, but I just want to say, like, I've been watching it. I love the fact that it's turned up at this point in the season where there's less regular NRL games to watch, so it fills that footy void. And I do want to give you guys a tip that there is a triple header. As Jeff says, Broncos-Eels is in 30 minutes. So there is a triple header NRLW today. So you're thinking, oh, there's not enough footy on. Check out the NRLW. You really will, if you haven't watched it before, you might be surprised how enjoyable it is to watch. Something I didn't watch, so just shoot your thoughts through, but another big event, you could say, somewhat related to rugby league, was Thursday night. Paul Gallen, he fought two different opponents in one night, fought Hannant and Justin Hodges. Did anyone watch that? Did anyone pay for it? Was it worth it? From what I heard, I saw very minimal highlights and heard people talking about it. It actually sounded like both Hannant and Hodges had their moments and did push him. And one of the fights, the Hannant fight, went the distance, and the Hodges fight, Hodges did actually tag him at one point, and it was somewhat controversial when the fight got stopped. So you would think that Gallen, someone who's actually fought legitimate Aussie boxers and fought for like an Australian title, I believe, to fight, you know, Gallen has earned the respect as a fighter to be referred to much better than just another retired footy player that's jumping in the ring. Whereas that's all anyone thought of Hannant and Hodges. But it actually sounds like the fights were a little bit closer. But then again, did fight two people in the one night. No, they said that was a world first, but I swear I saw that influencer KSI did exactly the same thing last month in England, fought a couple of people in the same night. But if there's any thoughts, Ocho saying it was just a money grab, I'm guessing, and saying no, I think that might be a response to whether it was worth it. What about this game? I actually watched the rugby test match, the Bledisloe, on Thursday night, and kudos to them for putting that game on Thursday night, not putting it up against the AFL or NRL finals. If you didn't catch it, the All Blacks beat the Wallabies 39-37. And a little bit of history, I'm a very casual rugby follower. I used to follow it a bit more. I'd literally go to Reds games. The Queensland Reds actually used to be gun and won a couple of Super Rugby championships. And I used to really enjoy going and watching that. And I would always watch Wallabies tests. I'm such a sports fan, but it's just a matter of how much you can consume. And then like Foxtel lost the rights to a lot of rugby and stuff, so I don't catch much, but this was free to air. And one bit of history is that the Bledisloe is a competition that takes place between two countries, right? Two. And yet the Wallabies haven't held it since 2002, which is 20 years. So that is just insane. That shows how dominant New Zealand has been over that time. And this game wasn't to win the Bledisloe. Well, even if the Wallabies had won, they still would have to win next week. But it was for an opportunity. And the All Blacks have looked a little bit vulnerable lately. If you haven't followed rugby, like they lost at home to Ireland a couple of times. They lost at home to Argentina for the first ever time. I think they had a loss to South Africa sprinkled in there. But the All Blacks were coming off a big 50-point win. And the Wallabies, they say, have a few injuries. And the Wallabies were pretty big underdogs in this game. Wallabies are like 10.5-point underdogs. The game was in Sydney or Melbourne. So it was on Aussie soil. But I wanted to talk about, first of all, the positives. Like, it was highly entertaining. The Wallabies at one stage were down 31-14, basically looked cooked, basically dead in the water, had a sin bin. But then they come back, score a try, score another try. They're within seven. The Wallabies score a try with 5 minutes to go and drain a sideline conversion to tie the game at 34-all. Then with just a couple of minutes to go, the Wallabies get a penalty on halfway, and in Union, you know, they'll take a shot at goal, and they hand it to a different kicker. So Foley was the regular kicker, but they give it to White, and he steps up and absolutely smashes a penalty from halfway that would have been good from 65, and the Wallabies hit the front 37-34. All Blacks get a penalty and choose not to tie the game, which I suppose, because of how the Bledisloe works, where you retain it, if the series ties, the All Blacks might have seen this game being a tie not helping them, because it would still leave the Bledisloe up for grabs next week. So credit to New Zealand. They went for the win. They're attacking the Wallabies line. The Wallabies turn the ball over and basically win an amazing and unforgettable test match. But no, that final moment I got to talk about, the Wallabies get a penalty. There's 60 seconds to go. So you're kicking for touch and you've got possession. Basically, you've just got to make sure you can throw the line out in and you've won the game. And the ref is saying 10-10, something like that. I'm trying to hurry up the Wallabies fly half, and blows a penalty from being too slow, kicking the penalty for touch out. He's too slow. And it reverses possession, and it's an All Blacks ball, and the All Blacks score a try after the siren and break the Wallabies halves, as comments are saying that it was heartbreaking and also horrendous refereeing. And look, I've already been accused of being a rugby knocker because I did some reaction video to a really embarrassing play by a South African player that slapped the Wallabies scrum half in the face and got a sin bin and stuff. So, look, the rules are there in black and white, and there is supposedly a rule that you can give a penalty for time wasting, and he was being too slow. So I'm not necessarily here to say I know better than a rugby union referee, but I just think if that is the rule, that's ridiculous. Like, if the ref doesn't blow a penalty in that moment, you're not going to have people all across New Zealand up in arms and furious that there was no time-wasting penalty. Like, nobody would have even blinked. Like, even the All Blacks were succumbed to their fate that they were going to lose that game. And I think even a New Zealand fan would pay respect to the Wallabies. The Wallabies got them on that night. But you blow a penalty against the team in possession, and suddenly now it's Australians that are up in arms and Australians that are heartbroken, and it takes away what would have been an amazing victory. And imagine it's a rugby league grand final, because I think Bledisloe, it's similar to that. Or, you know, what if it's the World Cup final or it's an Origin game? And imagine that one team is winning by 1 point and has the ball on their own 10-metre line, and the player gets up and plays the ball really slowly, or takes his time to play the ball really slowly. Imagine a referee blowing a penalty for time wasting and giving the ball to the other team to win the game. Like, it just seems ridiculous. Like, what do they do in rugby league if a player's time wasting? Blow time off. So surely that's got to be the rule. You've got to blow time off, or you've got to understand some context to the game. To give a penalty to the All Blacks there seemed pretty ridiculous. That's just my opinion on it, but let us know what you guys think. NFL, there was a great game on Friday. There's always one game every week, Friday, Australian time. I actually was able to catch that one with Alexi, a couple of contenders, the Chargers and the Chiefs, and it finished 27-24. And I just want to talk about NFL because I'm going to give you a bonus tip. If you sat through this all with me on your Sunday, you're going to get my favorite play for the NFL tomorrow, which is where the main slate kicks off. But also, if you do enjoy NFL tips, just be aware we have two different NFL preview shows that are both different style, and they're both on the Tripod Facebook page. Prop Me Up is on every Saturday with tips from The Undertaker and Barney, and that's more player props and stuff, but a range of tips. They'll still tip sides and totals as well. And then look forward to this afternoon on the Tripod Facebook page, Neddy Given Sunday, breaking down the NFL like only he can. My favorite tip for tomorrow, -3, the Indianapolis Colts. And that's juiced as well. You can get $2.01 on Toppy with the Colts. They played a tie last week. They're a side that Podonis tipped preseason to have the best record in the AFC. They're a side that we all agreed should be winning their division. They're a side that missed the playoffs last year because they couldn't beat the opponent that they're playing tomorrow, the Jacksonville Jaguars. And they haven't been able to beat Jacksonville in Jacksonville for something like 8 years, which is pretty crazy because Indianapolis has been a pretty good team for the last 8 years, and the Jacksonville's been bottom feeders, and they're in division, so they play each other every year. So some people think it's a hoodoo, but to me, I think that Indianapolis are going to have had this game circled on the schedule, and in a game where usually you'd expect them to win comfortably because they've had the issue with Jacksonville and they remember that the Jags ended their season last year, I think they're going to be come out with a point to prove. And they've got a new quarterback, Matt Ryan, and they had some, let's say, teething pains earlier, early in the game last week. They were down 20-3. They rolled all the way back up and finished the game 20-all. Jacksonville was definitely respectable last week, but they got a new head coach, and I don't think they've solved all their problems in 1 week. So I think Ocho is saying the Jags are something like 9-0 against Indianapolis in home games in the last 9 years or something. So I'm looking for that trend to be reversed, and laying only a field goal would be my play. And one other sporting event as well, AFL. We've got the AFL Grand Final. If anyone's got any thoughts on that, comment who you're tipping for the AFL Grand Final. Happy to hear it. But that was the closest finals game this weekend. You've got, unfortunately to say, for the Brisbane boys, the boys in the Olympic City who follow the pod, the Lions had a couple of upset wins in the finals, got to a prelim but got thumped by the Cats. So that same theme of these big finals games ending in blowouts. Following the NRL, that was Friday night with the Lions going down to the Cats. But then this was a belter. The Magpies and Swans is a 1-point final, Sydney winning 95-94. And the Swans were winning this game by 37 points at one stage late in the third quarter. And the Magpies gave them one hell of a fright, coming nearly all the way back. It's another one where it just goes to show you the narrow margins in these competitions, because the Magpies are going to be sitting out now, and they're going to be watching the Swans and Cats play in the AFL Grand Final next week, thinking that Magpies-Cats was a tied game with a minute to go in week one of the finals. The Magpies easily could have upset Geelong in week one of the finals and gone on a different path and got a week off and hosted a prelim and would have been hosting Brisbane and could very well have made this Grand Final. And then they're going to be watching the Swans, who they spotted a 37-point lead and who they let score the first 26 points of the game and came all the way back and missed out by 1 point. They're going to be watching those two teams go battle and think, you know, that's how close both of their defeats were. So, and there, of course, there was controversy as well. X Factor's commenting, really controversial goal that was given to the Swans. I think that was one where a Swans player, he really didn't mark the ball. He just seemed to bounce it or kind of like push it into the ground and land on it and got awarded a mark and then kicked a goal from that. Obviously, when a game finishes by 1 point, I mean, it is subjective in any sport. It did seem subjective to me, like in the AFL umpiring, what's a free kick, what's not, what's prior opportunity, what's not, what's worthy of a 50-metre penalty. So you can point to a lot of moments, but no doubt it was pretty enthralling and it was pretty exciting. And I also give credit to the fact that that AFL game kicked off at like 5 p.m. So we actually got that one ahead of the NRL. They didn't go head-to-head. So a lot of people probably did sit down and watch that. And if you're like me, you're a very casual AFL follower. You may not have watched much AFL this year, but you're probably going to sit down and watch the high-stakes games. And the prelim was was pretty exciting. And obviously I'll be watching the AFL grand final next week, and no doubt that'll be exciting too. And if you do like AFL and you do want to punt on it, give a shout out to Eddie Betts, who's in our group, who does tip AFL, and a couple other boys do as well, share AFL tips every week in the group. All right, that was me going around the grounds for 10, 15 minutes on some other sports that I really know little about. So hope you didn't mind that. Appreciate people that did tune in. Hope you guys enjoy this. Even if you're not watching it live, by doing it this morning, I've given people the opportunity to catch this whenever suits them throughout their Sunday, which I hope is a great day for you all, guys. And I'll see you back on Wednesday to preview some preliminary finals. Lego.